Good morning. Last week we began the sugya of Yichud. We began with the basic introduction of where it applies. So today we're going to continue with the basic parameters of Hilchos Yichud. And as we very often do, we're going to start with all of the chumras, all of the cases to show the chaymer hadavar, and cases of perhaps surprising cases of Yichud where people may not think of it as Yichud. And for those that make it until the end of this year, at that point we're going to start going through some of the kulas that apply to Hilchos Yichud. It says, we began the din of Yichud when an ishar miyachid in a place where they can do an aveira together. That is the classic case of Hilchos Yichud. And we ended off, we spent most of the time discussing what kind of people are subject to Hilchos Yichud. So midoraisa, Yichud applies by an erva, when someone is viyachid with someone where there's an isser, certainly an isser kares. According to most places, it applies by a chayv elavim as well. A pnuya, who tahira, there's no isser midoraisa, that is a later takana. Today it's mostly irrelevant, because a pnuya today is generally b'cheskas nida, so there'll be an isser deraisa. A goya as well, there's no isser midoraisa, it's a later takana midravanon. Now, a very common question is, what happens if there an isser yichud of someone who's a zaken or a chayla, someone who's very old, or someone who is not well? Very often, they will need someone to take care of them at home, and typically this will be a shayla of yichud. So, certainly, what the Paiskim say is that if anyone who is at all capable of doing an avera, the isser of yichud applies. We do not start making judgment calls whether they're old, young, what they look like, how likely it is they'll be interested in each other. Those kind of cheshbonos we cannot make. As long as they are physically capable of doing an avera, we don't start making chalukim, and the issur of yichud will apply. That being said, if a person, if a dog medically is simply unable to do an avera b'chlal, they already, the same way we find by a katan or a ktana, were below the age where they cannot do an avera, the isser yichud does not apply. So hu adin, if someone is older and he's medically not able to do an avera b'chlal, there the isser yichud will not apply either. It is unusual. A person has to be rather sick and rather weak for him to actually qualify. But at least conceptually, someone who's in that situation would have a heser. Because Moshe actually makes an interesting chiluk. He says, by yichud doi raisa, there already we need a doctor being made that it's impossible for the aveira to be done. By yichud rabbanon, he says, we can be samech on the chayla himself. The chayla says that he's physically not capable of doing aveira, that's sort of, we can go with that by yichud rabbanon. In most cases, because in many of the cases, the aid will be a guy. So there, yichud with a goy is an issur d'rabbanon, and therefore the Rambam says that you can be soimich on the chayla himself if he says there's no makom for an avera. So that is, Minchas Chinuch actually says there's an issur asay on a nochris that's married. So according to Minchas Chinuch, if you go that the issur yichud applies not only by chive kares, but also by chave lavin or even an asay, and you go with this Minchas Chinuch, and a chanami will be asur. Others, the Stimus Hadvarim, many other places do not say that it would be deraisa. So, yeah, that was his question. Yeah, correct. That even though she is a guy and yichud with a nachris is a rabbanon, but it, what? Oh, no, enochanami. That don't be shav deraisa. This is only being a gay. Right. Correct. Enochanami. This din is a Yisrael, a ben who is being miyachid with a nochris. That is the rabbanon. Although Minchas Chinuch Taka says that if the nochris is married, it may be a deraisa. The other way, an eishes ish, who's a Yiddish eishes ish, who's miyachid with a guy, that would certainly be an isser deraisa. The Moshe Sternbuch says someone who has Alzheimer's is medically not able to do an aver, and he says this, the yichud wouldn't apply. So even without coming on to the din shayda, that's his example of someone who taka can is not subject to hilchos zichur. And chnami, if he's taka, if he's begeder or shaita, he's not mechoyev mitzvah zichur. Correct. Now, when people think of yichud, what typically comes to mind is the case of an ish and an isha, one man and one lady, secluded in an area. That is the classic case of yichud d'oraisa. However, the Mishnah that we've learned in the Ma'ariv Mekayimus says extends this isser. And what the Mishnah says is that lo yisyached adam im shtei nashim, avo isha achas misyachedes im shnei anashim. Mishnah makes the following distinction. The Mishnah says that a man cannot be miyached with two ladies. However, one lady can be miyached with two anashim. The Gemara explains that the reason why an ish cannot be miyached with two ladies is that, where it says, nashim dais and kalos, we are choishish, he'll do an aveir with both of them. And therefore, the isur yichud is not just one ish and one isha. Even if an ish is being miyached with two ladies, there the isur yichud will apply. Now the Achrayim will say that this is yichud rabbana. Midoraisa, it's only usher when it's one ish and one isha. This is a gzeir midrabbanon that we're choishish, even if there are two ladies, we're choishish boli zei yisur. So as far as when there's a shiloh where there's sveikus, a person can be makel, it is a suffix rabbanon. But nevertheless, it's certainly one man and one lady. It's a clear mishnah. Nobody argues on this. There certainly would be an isur of yichud. Now it is not clear in the Gemara what happens if there's more than one woman, more than two ladies. And Rashi is mavur that this isur is only by two ladies. Once you have three, in most cases Rashi says it would be mutzer. At some point there are so many people involved, we're not choishes, there'll be bidalu de avera. The exception is if it's iskay im nashim, if the person's job involves something, he works, he's a sheitel macher, he does something, or he sells jewelry, sell something which primarily deals with ladies. There already we're concerned even when there are three ladies. But the absence of that, Rashi says, even though there's an isser for a man's miyachel with two ladies, once there are three, Rashi says it would be mutter. Other poskim are chaylik. They say that there's no difference. Well, if it's only one man, we are and it's secluded with three or four, it still would be usser. There does not seem to be a clear hachra. Because it is a shayloh d'rabbanon, once we're dealing with more than one man and one lady, it's certainly only a shayloh d'rabbanon. Therefore, b'shas atzchach, a person can be mekel. L'chadchila, heyos egros moshe is machmir in this case. L'chadchila, it's kedai for a person to be machmir even by three ladies. But again, makom tzera, because it's a shayloh d'rabbanon, there is makom to be mekel. So this is when you have one man with two or more ladies. What about the other case? So over here we have what seems to be is a first Mishnah. The Mishnah says that in Isha Achas Misachedes Im Shnei Anashim, that you have two. There is no Isser Yichud for her to have two men to be alone with one lady. Now the problem is the Rambam says Mefurish that this is Asr. Well, what's trying the Rambam? The Mishnah says clearly there's no Isser of having two men and one lady. So the way the Rishayim and Achrayim learn up the Rambam is like this. The Gemara says, although two men are allowed to be miyachud with one lady, there's an exception to that. And that is, Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, lo yishanu elo b'ksheiru. This hetzer of two anashim is when they're both kosher. Two kosher yidin, they're allowed to be miyachud with one lady, we're not afraid of any, they'll be bo de yitzer. Abu b'prutzim, afil be'asara nami loy. But if they're prutzim, even if there are 10 men and one woman, that would be usher. And the Gemara says, just like you find you can have 10 people robbing a bank together, why aren't they embarrassed of each other? The Torah says they're colluding together, they're working together. It's a gang. So since you find that Bali Avero, when they're together, can collude. So who I did? If you have a bunch of prutzim that are together alone, they'll go ahead and they'll together go ahead and decide to collude and do a ma'isa iser. It's only when they're ksherim, they're ready. We do not have this problem, and they are two anashim with one isha is mutter. What? Okay, not necessarily the same, but let's hold off on that for a moment. The question, of course, is how do we define what a paris is and what a kosher is? Do we say that people have a cheskes kashrus? It's only someone who is a parah, someone who is known to be a Baal Veira, there the halacha is different. Or perhaps no. So the Gemara tells over a story that Rabbi Yehuda and Rav were walking together, and a lady came. So Rav tells Rabbi Yehuda, we have to get out of here quickly, there's a problem with Yichur. He says, wait a second. We're here together. It's two Anashim and one Isha. The Mishnah says, two Anashim and one Isha, it's fine. So what's the problem? Rav said, what? Nothing doing. That's only by Ksherim. By Prutzim, there's an Isser. So, what was this? Who are the actors in this story? We have the Lisha, we have Rav Yehuda and Rav. And Rav is saying we cannot be Saimach on the Heter of the Mishnah of Shnei Anashim because it only applies to Ksherim, not to Prutzim. So he says, okay, so if we're Prutzim, who qualifies as Ksherim? So Rav tells him that it's talking about Rav Chanina, Bar Papi, V'Chaderov, there are two people who Rav held were tremendous Prusha. The Rambam learns this Gemara Kepshuta and takes out from this Gemara that basically there's no such thing as a kosher today. If Rav Yehuda and Rav don't qualify as Ksherim, then there's nothing to talk about today. And therefore, everyone has a din of a parrot. Since everyone has a din of a parrot, this halacha that Shnei Anoshim and Isha Achas is totally irrelevant. Now, although this is the Shita of the Rambam, most Rishonim argue. Most Rishonim learn this Gemara is La'davka, it's a Midas Chasidus. And as a rabbi, when the Mishnah says Stomo Shnei Anoshim is Mutter, the Mishnah is talking about regular people. And as a rabbi, Stam Yisroel, Stam a person will have a Cheskes Kasherus, Stam of a Yid will have a Din of a Kasher, unless he is known to be a Paritz. Then Halacha will be different. But a Stam person, a Shomer Torah Mitzvot, you're going to assume has a Din of a Kasher, and they'll be had to be Miachad with two men and one lady. Yes, he has a much. He says anyone who is below the level of Rav Chanina Bar Papi has a din of a parrot.
But how do you find below the level? What does that mean?
Okay, it's rather irrelevant because what it means is unless a person is holzak to be a kosher or a tar, again it's hard to describe. So if Rav Yehuda and Rav don't qualify to be ksherim. You know, it's hard to really quantify what that means. How you be higher than Rav and Rav Yehuda and lower than Rav Chanina Bar Papi. I don't know what that level will be. Halacha Maaseh, it's irrelevant because if you go with that mahalach, there's no such thing as the kosher today, and there'll be no heter for two men to be miyachid with one lady. Oh, excellent. We got there. No, wait a second. He clearly was telling Rav Yehuda, I don't consider you a kosher. Because when Rav Yehuda asked him, so who's a kosher, he didn't say you, but it's just, you know, me, I'm being an honor. He said, Rav Chanina Bar Papi, yen a person. Yeah, he clearly was not, he was not playing games and saying, listen, me, I don't know, but you, you're taka kosher. He was telling him, between the eyes, neither of us qualify for this level of a kosher. So according to most Rishonim, we do not take this most Rishonim argue on the Rambam. They say this Gemara was a Midas Chasidus, not Maker Hadin, and a Stam Yisroel would have a din of a Kasher. When does a person become a Paritz? So this is not very clearly defined. Certainly if a person is over on the Isser of Yichud or he's Kasher on Arayas, that itself would qualify to have a din of a Kasher. Shevet HaLevi very famously writes that if you have a television or if you get certain newspapers, he says that's enough to qualify as a paritz. The most Heinzegov Paiskim qualify that. They say if a person grows up in Bnei Brak and then he buys himself a television, he is certainly v'cheskas a paritz. On the other hand, if you grow up in a place where this is normal, this is people do not look at it as such a davar chomer, then you can't go ahead and suddenly say he's choshen on everything simply because he didn't throw it out, and the post commit make such chalukim. Sir, what? Certainly, a someone who's a shayim retire mitzvah without anything has, according to most poskim, has a din of a kosher. It's only when he's kosher, when you've done something, when there are question marks, there already he would have a din of a part. Now, as far as halacha lemaisa, the mechaber, the svardim follow the shita of the Rambam, and therefore the svardim, this is a halacha lemaisa, they have a tremendous chumrah. This heter of two anashim, of two men, the svardim will certainly do not have such a heter because they do not have any ksherim. However, the Ramah is meko. The Ramah follows the shita of most other rishonim that today most people have a cheskas kasherus. And therefore, in most cases, as long as you're dealing with two shomer Torah mitzvahs, in many cases, the according to the Ramah, you will not have the iser if it's two anashim, then you will not have that iser. Very good, very good. So 10 perutim is certainly going to be aser. Like the Gemara says, we're afraid they're going to collude together, and it'll be aser. However, the Rambam writes, and it's interesting because there's no direct makar in the Gemara. The later Achroinim are busy, have different rayas to the sheets of the Rambam. The Rambam writes, when it's anoshim harbeh, it's going to be mutter. So even though one man with multiple ladies, with two is certainly aser, three we have in Shailon, there may machmir on that. And even though according to the Rambam, two, three, four men and one lady, since they all have a din of a parent, it's going to be usher as well. Nevertheless, we do not put both chumras together. And at some point, when there are so many people in the room, even though they're prutzim, even though they're all perhaps chashud, there's not going to be an avera done when there are so many people involved. There is a machlokes achroin in what it means harbe. Some are mako when it's two and two. You know, as long as it's two and two, two men and two ladies, we're not chashud anymore. Most seem to be machmer and require three and three, or at least two men and three ladies. At that point, there are so many people involved, then it'll be mutter. Now, if they're all bona fide prutzim, they're ready. It's not so pashut. They're ready. Even when they're harbe, there are machmirim, and that's already something. Which again, at some point, you'll have 10 and 10, or in that case, it'll be mutter. But even if it's 3 and 3, if they're all prutzim, real prutzim, or if people are not shomer Torah mitzvahs, it's not kosher to be mekel at all, and that's something to be aware of. Person works in an office, assuming he's working there, they're goyim, they're prutzim. If it is a case of yichud, and it's, even if it's 3 and 3, in that case, it's not so kosher to be mekel.
Correct.
So that leads us to his. What happens if? Now, the case that we're talking about over here is 10 prutzim and one isha is going to be asa. What happens if there's one parut and one kasha? So the Amshul Shlomo says that it's going to be mutter. He says why? When there are 10 prutzim, what's the problem? They're going to... What? Everyone. Well, I don't know if the parut is asking the shayla, but but he says like this. He says that the kasha is going to be afraid to do anything in front of the parut because he's a kasher. He's not going to go ahead and collude with the parrots. The parrots also, when there are 10 prutzim, so he knows he has a partner in crime. He has an accomplice that'll work with him. On the other hand, if he knows the fellow next to him is a kasher, he's going to be afraid to do anything because the kasher is going to keep him straight. And therefore, the Amshul Shlomo says the isser is only when they're all prutzim. If it's one kasher and one parrot, the Amshul Shlomo says that it's going to be mutter. The Shev Yaakov and others argue. And the Shev Yaakov basically says like this. When you have two ksherim, the pshat is each is going to keep the other one out of trouble, because each of them knows if they do anything wrong, the other person is not going to go along with them, and they're going to get themselves into trouble. They'll get caught. However, Zakh Shev Yaakov, if you have a kasher with the parrots, it's very happy to do an iser. What are we relying on? The kasher is not going to be embarrassed. Zakh Shev Yaakov, if the kasher has with it knows that if he does an iser, the parrots will join. So now the kosher has nothing holding him back anymore. And therefore the Shev Yaakov says, when it's one kosher and one parrot, he says, you cannot be samech on the heter, and there will be usher, because the kosher himself, there's nothing stopping him from being nechshon. Interestingly enough, the Shev Yaakov says, that's when you're dealing with a kosher who's with a yid who's a parrot. On the other hand, if a kosher is with a goy, there he says it's mutter. Why? Why is a goy better than a parrot? So he says very interesting svara. He says, when you have a yid, a kasher with a paros, so the kasher, we're afraid, will do an aveira, and the paros will go along, and they'll both do an isser, and no, and everyone will keep quiet. However, Zakta Shev Yaakov, when you're dealing with a goy, the goy, you don't trust. And the goy, when he does the yisser, they're so far removed, it's not even a bezayin to them. The kasher is chayshish that the goy, even if he does the yisser, afterwards will go ahead and talk about it, and tell everyone about what happened. And therefore, when a kasher is with a goy, there he's afraid to go ahead and do anything, and the Shev Yaakov says, in that case, it would be mutter. So we have three levels. We have the Yamsha Shlomi says you need both Sheirim, one and one is going to be Asr. Shev Yaakov says that a kosher and a paros is going to be Asr, but a kosher and a goy paros, that already is going to be better Klapi Hilchos Yichud, and that would be Mutter. That's true. Everyone agrees the heter with two people is the fact that each of them is going to be embarrassed from the other one. The Shev Yaakov's chiddush is that a kosher will not be embarrassed to do an aveira b'snei a paretz as long as the paretz will do the aveira as well. The Yamsha Shlomi may argue on that and say the point is not that two people are both kshem, they won't do the yisr. A kosher won't do anything when there's a paretz there. True, the paretz will go ahead and but the bottom line is when there's someone there, he's not walking away, he's here, it's not bederach. So the kosher is going to be embarrassed. And therefore the Yamsha Shlomi holds that in such a case we do not have such a chashash. Again, what do we see from? A kasher will trust the paretz, he will not trust the goy to keep quiet.
Why will he trust the paretz? Because the paretz realizes that it's an embarrassment and he doesn't want the whole world to know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I hear the argument, but the fact that we see a kosher will refrain from doing an aveira because of the chashash that a goy will talk, we don't know whether that shmira is sufficient for a paretz. A paretz may not have that level of mirtzas, and he may not care.
But if that's the case, the kosher would also have a problem
Mm-hmm. Okay, it's lav dafka. The fact there is some level of fear that will help for a kosher doesn't prove that same minimal threat is enough to stop a paretz from doing an issa. So it's lav dafka. I don't think you have a raya from which a goy is becheskos of yid. The becheskos kashrus applies to a yid. It does not apply to a goy. And what we're saying is, besides being a paretz, there's another point that they'll talk more quickly. Actually, we find a similar svar of mififah even in Hilchos Shabbos, that even the shutif, they'll talk. But if these in yonim as well, they'll be quicker to go ahead and spread and talk about what happened. And therefore, there's according to the Shev Yaakov, you have this, it's a mile in Hilchos Yichud. You have this greater fear when there's a goy involved. You don't find directly in halacha there's a difference between who's the boss and who isn't the boss. In practice, you know, it certainly makes a greater chashash if someone is tully in someone else. They're probably, practically speaking, is a greater chashash. They actually use the svara in some cases. We'll perhaps get some examples today. But one of the coolers that people, or the svaras that are used, and again, it's, you have to be careful with it, but one of the svaras they use is that if there's a chashash, or if there are people afraid of doing something because they'll get into trouble from the government, then sometimes that's used as a sniff lahakal and hilchos yichud. Now, in many cases, especially if you're dealing with a doctor, where there are many rules or laws about taking advantage of a position of power, if you will, for these inyanim. So it's a sniff that is used lahakal in some cases, that because they're afraid, and if they do anything happens, they can get into very serious trouble. Again, it's a sniff that is sometimes used lahakal, but again, it has to be used very, very carefully. So again, to briefly summarize, everyone agrees an ish with two ladies is certainly going to be aser. With more than three is a shayla. There's makom to be mekel b'shasa b'tzayrach. The other case, if it's one woman with two men, there, according to the Rambam, that's going to be aser because we assume everyone has a din of a parak. According to the Ramah and most other Rishonim, and there already we assume everyone has a cheskos kashrus unless proven otherwise. And therefore, it is going to be mutter when there's one parrot and one kosher, that already is a bachlokes achrayim had to deal with it. Now, although according to the Ramah, two ksherim and two stam people have a din of a kosher, and therefore they're allowed to be yachid with one woman, there are two important exceptions. The first, which the Gemara says, is that when you're on the road, when you're traveling, the Gemara says you need an additional shayma. And the reason is that if there are two men traveling with one woman, we're afraid while you're traveling, at some point one of the men will have to excuse himself, have to stop off and relieve himself. So when he goes ahead and wanders away for some privacy, at that point there were only two men traveling, so who's left behind? One man and one lady. At that point, they're in the middle of the forest, the middle of nowhere, so at that point there will be yichud between the remaining man and the lady. And therefore, when they're bederech, when they're traveling, because this is a common thing to occur, it is not enough to have two men. There, you can only be meko bederech if you have three men. Because then, even if one leaves, he's leaving two behind, and therefore, there still is no problem of yichud. Now, the Dakei Moshe brings down, there are some shittas that limit this. The case was, in the Gemara's case, actually, the men that were actually escorting and guarding the lady. So in that case, even if one of them leaves, if one of them has to excuse himself, he's going to leave the other one behind because someone has to watch her. On the other hand, if they're not watching her, they just have to be traveling together. It's a very simple answer. If one of them needs to excuse himself and leave for a few moments, he can take the other fellow with him, and therefore there won't be any yichud. So mehechitesa were choishish that one's going to leave and the other one will remain behind if it's after the over the yisr yichud. And nevertheless, most poskim reject this distinction, and whenever you're on the road, whether the men are actually there to guard and to watch the lady or not, when you're on the road, you need a third person. Now, what about today? If you're traveling in a car, is it shchiach for people to stop in the middle of the forest, in the middle of a secluded area, because one of them needs to take a pit stop? So I saw the Chatzko Roth has a tshuva, and the Teres HaYichud brings this down as well, a tremendous chiddush. He says, "Hey, Yoyis Meikar Hadin, the Isser of Yichud does not apply when there are two men and one Isha. It's only because when people are traveling, it was normal, it was common for them to have to stop along the way to make a stop, and someone would have to leave for privacy. So there, Misnakin, you need a third man. However, today, where the drachim, where when people are traveling, there are gas stations, there are stops along the way, people do not stop in secluded areas to make a pit stop. It is much, much more common for them to stop in a gas station or a place where there is no Isser Yichud, where there are rabbim mitzvim shem. So therefore, it's the Chatzko Ruach, the same as Lahakal, that the whole tam does not apply. And therefore, today, it would be enough traveling, even if when you're traveling, it would still be enough to have two men. You would not need a third person. And Nitzi Gavriel takes strong issue with this answer. He says that this idea that you need three when you're bederech is a Gemara. When the Gemara goes ahead and has a chashash that while you're traveling, someone's going to have to leave and they'll end up with yichud, you cannot go ahead and just say, today there are modern gas stations, and therefore the halacha does not apply. Befrat, you know, as anyone who's traveled with children knows, it's not completely unheard of for a person to have to stop without waiting for, you know, on in a secluded area. So therefore, to go ahead and to be simech lahakol and to say a halacha mufureshes doesn't apply because the facts change is something that does not push it at all. Again, what? Yes, like this. If you're driving on a highway, we'll get to that a little bit later. Very often, we're driving. It's not yichud at all. If you're driving on a highway, especially in the middle of the day, it's not a question of yichud and how many people. That's not yichud. You're in a public area where everyone sees what's going on. The issue comes up is, say you're driving through a deserted country road in the middle of the night. So in that case, and we'll discuss later on what the parameters of that are, there's yichud, there's no one around. So now we have to look at how many people are in the car. So the question is, in such a case, can we rely on two men in the car, two men and one lady, and say that it's not, if they have to make a stop, they'll find a gas station, and therefore it's a regular case of two ksherim and one isha is fine? Or do we say no, we have a chashash, since they may need to stop on the side of the derech, in which case it will be yichud. So then if one of the men leaves, then the other two are yichud, it will be yasser. That's where it will be nega. Okay, good. So we'll get to what is yichud and on the. Yeah. So when you're traveling in the Gemara's case. Mm-hmm. When a person has to leave for tznius reason, so he's going to go out of eyesight. That enough is a shir yichud. That's, you see clearly that you don't have that where people have to go. That's enough time for there to be a shir yichud. Now, what about the problem that there will be other travelers coming down that road? So that we'll discuss. Obviously, if it's common, there are many people coming and going, there will be no iser yichud. It's when it's more deserted where it becomes a problem. We'll talk about how to define that a bit later. Yeah, so that is a machlokes apoyskim. Rav Rishayim and Rav Poyskim are not tzemich on that kula. Now it's true. If you want to use the svara that today things are different because people stop at a gas station, you always have as a fallback the Dr. Moshe brings down this shita. So it's also a sniff lahakol. And on top of that, it's by definition at least is the drabanon, because right now you're dealing with two men and one lady. So that is all part of the cheshbon of those that are matter. Okay, so actually, night is really is the next point. Night has a chumra as well. The first chumra is that although by two men and one lady it's usually okay when they're traveling, the other halacha is you need three because we're afraid that one will have to leave. The second case, the Ravid says that at night as well, even if the person's not traveling, they're in a room together, there you cannot be makel with two men and one woman. And the problem, chashash is that at night, people can doze off, they can go to sleep. And therefore, since someone can fall asleep, at that point, there's only two people who are awake, there's one man and one lady that's awake, and therefore, there's a chashash yichud. So even though the other person is in the room, nevertheless, because he dozed off, we're still chayish. The person will go ahead and they can be makalko with him while he is sleeping. Correct, because where the chashash is lav not necessarily because of voinus, where the chashash is also for pitoy. And in that case, there won't be any scream, and we're chayish that the person will go ahead and be makalko. Okay, again, the conversation until now was assuming you made two assumptions. That while you're traveling, it's in a deserted area. If you stop on the side of the road, there's no one around. And Mashenkin gas stations, there are people coming and going, and those places are places which are not a makom yichud. If it is deserted, and how to define deserted in Echanami, then this hetzer will not apply. If the gas stations along the way are all places of yichud, then in Echanami, then certainly this hetzer will not apply. You certainly wouldn't need three. And we'll later on, or perhaps next week, we'll go back and define what deserted means, how to define yichud. So at night, if people are staying overnight, there everyone there as well. It's not two men is not enough. You need a third because we're chayish that one of them will fall asleep. Now the place can do say that if you're not staying overnight, you're just coming. There's a visit and everyone's leaving. There already some of the place can say that since no one's sleeping overnight, they're traveling back, we're not afraid that someone's going to go ahead and doze off. But if you're in a place where they're staying overnight, there you would need three men. It would not be enough to be samech on two.
Why three
better? Well, for two reasons. The first reason is that it's less likely for two to fall asleep than it is for one to fall asleep. But on top of that, even if two fall asleep, it's one thing for a person to say that this person sleeping so deeply, I can do what I want, I won't get caught. But once there are two people to keep track of and already, people do not have that yishuv hadas and that kind of gamble or that kind of thing, or chance, we're not choshed, people are going to take. Again, so to very briefly summarize, two women and one man, everyone agrees, is an issur of yichud. Three or more is a machlokes, you should be machmer lechachila. As far as two men, so the Rambam holds there will be aser because everyone has dinim cheskos parutz. The Ramah and Rav Yishayim argue and say two men normally are mutter. That being said, if it is either at night, or if it's bederech, you're traveling in an area where there's a machim yichud, they already you would need a third person to avoid a situation where one leaves or dozes off, and where there could possibly be yichud. So now let's talk about what is yichud. How secluded or how private of an area do you need to be for there to be an iser yichud? So I think when people think about yichud, what comes in mind is being alone in a locked room. It's clear that you do not need that for the iser of yichud. The Gemara says with Devaira that she sat under a palm tree, and what's the significance of the kind of tree? So the Gemara says because it's a tree that doesn't have it very low branches. It's a very tall tree, and therefore there is no yichud. Masha'in kein, a different kind of tree. If she's sitting there alone with a baal din, there already there is a chashash of yichud. Now clearly, whatever kind of a tree you're sitting under, you're not dealing with something that has four walls and a locked door. But nevertheless, if it's a tree that has branches that are hanging down and you can be in an area where people cannot see you, there that itself is clearly enough for yichud, even though, again, there are no walls, there's no lock, people in theory could come in. Gemara says that a churva as well. If you have ruins, even though it's in a city, nevertheless, if ruins are people stayed away from ruins, if you have a house that's burnt out, mazikim seem to hang out in places like that, and people do not. So going in there, even though there's nothing preventing other people from coming in, nevertheless, because normal people do not walk into a churva without a very good reason, so being alone in the churva, that would have a din of yichud. Now, this brings us to probably the most common heter in Hilchos Yichud, and perhaps one of the greatest controversies. We'll see a tremendous nafmin al halacha. And that is, the Gemara says that if a person is alone, if is in a situation of Yichud, he's alone, let's say one man, one lady, Pesach Pesuach L'Rishus Rabim is Ein by Mishum Yichud. If the door is open to the street, there's no Isser of Yichud. And the reason is very logical. The door is open, so what does it mean yichud? You may be alone in the room, but there's open access to the street. It's not a place a person can do an aveira and get away with it. So there, the issur of yichud does not apply. What's not clear in the Gemara is what does it mean pesach b'suach l'shusarab? What does it mean the door is open? Does it mean that a person opens up the door to his house, opens the door wide open, and anyone in the street can walk by? He sees the door wide open. He sees what's going on inside. And for that matter, the door is wide open. He can wander right into the room and see what's going on. Does it mean literally the door is open? Or perhaps you don't need that far. Perhaps as long as the door is not locked, where a person can open the door and come in, as long as it's stopping him from doing so, perhaps that itself is enough to be a hazard. So this is a tremendous machlokes apaiskim. Rekiv Eger brings down from a base mayor as well, and the base shleimoy, the avnei there are all machmer. They say when the Gemara says pesach, it means literally the door is open. It means the door is wide open. There's nothing preventing anyone from either seeing in or at least other Achronim learn, the person can walk in, he doesn't have to open the door. And in such a case, we can understand. If there's a public thoroughfare running right outside your house, the door is wide open, you can imagine, it's very understandable, a person will not be makalkal, he will not do anything that he does not want to get caught doing. What? Okay. Oh, very good, very good. So what they say is that when Zavira there was a din Torah, if you will. So when they have to question the witnesses, or you have to question the Balei Dinim, everyone stays away. No one's going to come in such a case. You're not going to interrupt the judicial proceedings. So even though in theory they could, Hayoyis, it's known that you don't do such a thing. There, it's possible to have yichud, even though people have access to it. Masha'in Kain, if your door of your house is wide open and it's a street, they're ready. People will take the liberty. People can see in. People may wander in. In that case, it would be mutter.
Is that the word here that is an extension
of the Rishus Rab, or is it a mirtis? No, it's not literally an extension. It's a mirtis. You're not going to do any. People will not be makalko because there's people can come in. Now this. Hold on, let me just. We're running out of time. This is the Shita of Kiveg. Many other Achroinim, and it really depends on the Girsa and the Tshuva, the Rajba argue. And they say you do not need literally the door to be wide open. As long as the door is unlocked, and there's nothing preventing someone from just opening the door and walking in, that itself is called Pesach Pesuach. People will be afraid to be makalko because anyone can just open the door and walk in. And therefore, even though it's not, they have to open the door, but since it's not locked, since people have access and are able to get in, that creates enough of a mirtzis, and that's enough to be ma'atirah. Now, you can imagine there's a tremendous nafkamina. Very often today, in many situations of yichud, there's a very simple eitzah, just unlock the door. But people are very often uncomfortable leaving the door wide open. It's much easier to just unlock it than it is to actually keep it wide open. And the question is what is the halacha? Does the door have to physically be open, or is it enough for it simply not to be unlocked? So, although there's not, we do not have a completely clear hakara, the Emes Yaakov makes a very interesting point. Emes Yaakov says that he doesn't know that it's really a machlokes. He says in many places in Europe, as long as the door was not locked, he says in Litza it was not uncommon. If the door wasn't unlocked, someone would come in, a friend, a neighbor. If the door wasn't locked, he would just open the door and walk in. If that is something which is shriach, or something that could happen, so we can understand. If you're in the room and the door is not locked, the person is going to be afraid to be makalko because someone can just walk in at any moment. So in that case, that would qualify as a pesach pesuach l'shus rabbim. And in that case, he says there would be no iser yichud. Masha'in Kain, he says in Ashkenaz in Germany, I guess they were a little bit more formal. And the idea of walking into a room or into a house without knocking and permission was something which is unheard of. It simply would not be done. So in that case, even if it's not locked, to go ahead and to say that there's a mirtzis, if it's completely socially unacceptable to walk into someone's house simply because the door wasn't locked, in that case he says they're already it would be usur. Because there's no mirtzis. People know that in the privacy of their home, it's not a problem. And based on this, today, perhaps it probably depends where you are. If you're in a bungalow colony, where it's one big happy family, people are coming and going, and kids entering, where a closed door doesn't mean that much. So in there, it's mistavra lahakol, because it's taka, there is no privacy in such a case. On the other hand, I would imagine in Muncie, if it's extremely uncommon for someone to go ahead and to open a door and to walk into a door into a house unannounced, even if the door is unlocked, in that case, it is very difficult to be makel, certainly on Yichud D'Oraisa, because the Metzias HaDvarim is that it's extremely uncommon for people to actually barge in, even if the door is unlocked. A chaver of mine was a rav, and he goes with his Emes Yaakov, and he was busy. And there was the chabur that was learning yichud, so he's busy dashing. You can't be samech lahakol. No one ever comes into a house unannounced. That's not today. It's unheard of, etc. He said, punk that night, he was on the phone. There was a knock on the door, and a very aggressive Israeli mesholach was at the door. you know, he was on the phone, he couldn't get to the door right away, so sure enough, the person opens up the door, marches in, what's going on? So, you know, the army kilim and the b'shas atchak, they're slaymich on this kind of svara that people, that it could happen, but certainly by yichud d'oraisa, to be slaymich on it in a typical case where it's not extremely uncommon, it is very difficult. Now one, what? Yeah, yeah. So that we'll discuss the concept of shomrim, but a very simple eitzah then, what will work is if neighbors have the key and they're rogel to come in, that's something that will help. If, for example, a person has a lot of married children in the area and they're constantly coming in and going, they already, you know, yesh lodon that it's mutzer because it's normal and people come in all the time. So in that case, then it's taka would be pesach pesuach. There was actually a maisa. There was someone who went to his rebbe. And apparently he was there, Gabbai, and a lady walked into the room. So the rabbi looked up and he saw the lady. He panicked. He ran out. And afterwards, he told the person who was with him, "Well, what's with you? Well, why aren't you Zohar on the Yisr of Yichud?" So the person started saying, "You know, to Anoshim, Ksheirim." The rabbi wasn't going to go for that. So finally, he said, "Rabbi, in your house, it's a Rishus HaRabim. People are constantly coming in to be Shoyaleitza, to get brachas. It's Pesach Pesuach, Rishus HaRabim." So when he heard that, he was makabel. So I'll call Lufia. And you have to know the situation, whether it's Shkiach or not. If it is Shkiach, people to come as Makas Vimeko, but if it's not, if people will not come in, just simply the fact that it's unlocked is very difficult to be stomach on that alone, Befrat by Yichud HaRaisa.